Okay, today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Zayin. We're going to be finishing. I mean Sanhedrin Makos daf Zayin. We're going to be finishing up the first parak of Maseches Makos today. We are holding, I believe, at the two dots on daf Vav Amud Beis, about 7-8 lines before the end of the page. Where it says Rabbi Yossi Omer, the Mishnah had said that according to Rabbi Yossi, that Yolam Ein Neharoginat Yishnei Eidov Masrin Bo, that they don't get killed. People don't get killed until the two Edim actually provide the Hasra. That's in contrast to the Tanakhama, who spoke about even if you have two people looking from one window, two people looking from another window, and you just have the Masra, the guy who's giving the Hasra, in the middle, that would be good enough. So Rabbi Yossi says, no, you need the Edim themselves to provide the Hasra. Amalei Rav Papa Labai, umiyasei Rabbi Yossi, I swear, does Rabbi Yossi really hold of such a thing? Does Rabbi Yossi really hold of that you even need Hasra at all? Vatnan, we have a Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Asone Ne'erag Mreshu Kamur Umusra, that Asone is killed, someone who happens to be an enemy of the person who he killed, is killed even without giving Asra, because it's considered that he's forewarned. That the apparently Rabbi Yossi holds that the whole idea of Asra is only to be Mavchin bin Shogig Lemezid. So a guy is a Sone, has a track record. It's as if he's been warned already. We know that he's obviously doing this on purpose, and therefore he gets killed just for that. So apparently you don't even need Asra, according to Rabbi Yossi. Yet in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi saying that they don't get killed unless the Edim themselves provide the Hasra. He requires even a higher standard of Hasra. Amaleyahu Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehudihi. Now there's Rabbi Yossi and there's Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Detanya Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Amar Chavrein Tzarech Hasra L'fishlo Nasra L'haftim Min Shog L'mezid. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda holds that Chaver doesn't require Hasra, someone who knows the din already doesn't require Hasra, because the Hasra is only meant to be able to distinguish between someone who's doing the Aveira B'shoking and someone who's doing it B'mezid. The Chaver knows exactly what he's doing, and therefore it's obvious that he's doing it B'mezid, so Hasra is unnecessary. But that's the sheet of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Stam would not hold that way. Rabbi Yossi Stam requires absolutely you need Hasra'ah. The Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out, he says, Kashali, Dilma Ishtali Velavadaita. He says, I don't understand, even if you're going to say that a Chaver knows the Halacha, but Hasra'ah doesn't, it is not only Mavchin Bein Shogig L'mezid in the sense of making sure you know what the Halacha is, that you know that it's Asur to murder and that you're going to be Chayiv Misa if you do murder. Hasra'ah is also there to make sure that you know exactly what you're doing right now. Someone sees you're about to do an Aveira, just to make sure that it's on your mind and that you didn't forget, and that that it's still at the center of your consciousness. That's what Hasra'ah is for. Do you know that the Chaver didn't forget or didn't lose himself or didn't you know, that he's thinking at the time that he's doing this? Shouldn't you still need Hasra for that purpose? Right, that's Rabbi Yaakov Ibn Kasha. Dilma Ishtali, maybe he forgot, Lavadaita, he's just not thinking about it. Oh, Shikar, or maybe he's drunk, oh, Nitrofadaita, Ba'osasha'a, or he's all confused at that moment. Hey, Machmasiba, Ace, it's some sort of temporary problem that he's having. Upagasha Yikra, and therefore what happened. Gama baluchal kaas baluchal taus v'mchacham uchacham asam mistalek. As Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out, there's Gemara in Pesachim daf samuch vav. The Gemara says that someone who's baluchal kaas is baluchal taus. So when a person gets angry, he tends to make a mistake and forget things that were obvious to him and that he should know. When he gets angry, sometimes slip his mind. So how do we know that that's not what the chaver is experiencing? Maybe he just got angry about something and he forgot the davar pashut. He forgot that there's an onesh for doing the crime that he's about to do. Also, he quotes a Gemara, Hamitztair b'yoser, umisha yisur moshem begufo. If someone is in a lot of pain, or someone is suffering a lot, so that's also something that causes people to forget. That's why the Gemara in Maseches Bava Basra Daf Tezayin in the Iyov Agaditas says, Ein adam nitfas al tzaro, that when a person says things or does things at a shas tzar, at a time of tremendous tzar for him, at a time of tremendous pain for him, so he's not going to be faulted for what he does at a time of tzar. So maybe he taka did forget. So that's Rabbi Yaakov Ibn Kasha. He doesn't answer it. He says the idea that a chaver ain't tzar chasra, because the hasra is only need to the hafchin mitshog l'mezid, assumes that the sole purpose of hasra is to educate the person who's about to commit the crime, not to verify that he's thinking at this moment. So that's the difficulty with that line in general. Fine. Dover Acher, Al Pishnai made them Shalotei Sanhedrin Shamas Mipia Torgaman. The Mishnah then said that what we might learn from the words Al Pishnai made them in the Pasuk is that it has to be Al Pihem, that you have to hear directly from the Edom themselves, that Beis Din cannot rely on the use of a translator. They have to hear directly from the Edom. Hanu La'uze, Da'asul Kame Derava, Uki Rava Turgman Benayhu. There were people who spoke another language. It wasn't a language that the Beis Din was comfortable with. So Rava got a Turgman. Rava got a translator to translate the conversation. So Frak the Gemara Vechi Avad Hachi, but how is Rava, the Amora, allowed to do this? Vatanan, we have a Mishnah, our Mishnah, Shalote Sanhedrin Shamas Mipiyad Turgman, that a Sanhedrin is not allowed to make use of a translator. So how is it possible that Rava was allowed to do this? So Rava Meidava Yada Madavu Amri Vaduri Hudalava Yada. There are different levels of knowledge of foreign languages. Sometimes when a person, a lot of times when someone has some experience with another language, they know enough to be able to understand it. But to be able to formulate sentences in a proper way and to be able to be comfortable speaking it, that much they don't know. Right? So Rava was at that stage. The whole din in the Sanhedrin not having a Torgamon is only a din in having to hear this story from its original source in the original language that it's being said. So good. So Rava was able to hear it, but to then communicate with the person and to ask follow-up questions, that's what he needed the Torgamon for. Ilav v'tuvia krevi da'arvahava. Ilav and Tuvia were edim on a loan, and they happened to have been krovim of the co-signer of the loan. Savra Papa Lemar Gabe Lovo Malva Rechikininu. So Rav Papa first thought to say, so what? So they krovim to the co-signer. They're not krovim to the borrower. They're not krovim to the lender. So who cares if they're krovim to the co-signer? The co-signer is not really a party to the loan, so it shouldn't matter. Amalei Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua the Rav Papa. So Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua said to Rav Papa, Ilesle the Lova Lav Basar Arva Azul Malva. He says, wait a second, but if the Lova doesn't have the money to pay back, so where do you think the Malva is going? He's going to be going to the Ariv to collect the loan, and therefore he is absolutely a party to the loan. And Tulsa says what seems to be very obvious, Mikan Yesh Lizar Be'ede Mamon Shlayu Krovim Lola Lova Vloli Ariv. And from here we see that when you have Edim on any monetary issue, they have to be careful. They're not krovim, not only to the lova, not only should they not be krovim to the malva either, they shouldn't be krovim to the ariv either. That's the maskana of the Gemara. That's what the Gemara seems to paskin. Fine, new Mishnah. Misha Nigmar Dino. Let's say someone had a Gemar Din already, Ubarach, and then he ran away. Ubalafnei also Beis Din, and then he comes back in front of that same Beis Din. Ein Sosun as Dino. Beis Din can't retry him when he comes back 10 years later in front of that Beis Din. They have to go by the original Psak and just deal with it and carry it out. Right? Rashi says, Ein Sosun Lachsor Velisa Velitein Ula Yizket. To say, who knows? Maybe it was Bashart that he ran away for all this time, and maybe it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to tell us we made a mistake, so let's revisit the whole case. No, Beis Din does not do such a thing. Whenever you have two Edom get up and say, we could be made that there was a Gemar Din on this guy in a particular Beis Din, Uploni Uploni Edov, and we can identify Ploni and Ploni as the witnesses that testified against him, Hareze Yaharek. So he's going to get killed based on that testimony itself. Period. Sanhedrin no hagis ba'aretz u'b'chutz la'aretz. The idea of Sanhedrin is something that we have both in Eretz Yisrael as well as in Chutz La'aretz. Sanhedrin ha'regas echad b'shavua nikres chavlanis. A Sanhedrin that kills once every 7 years is considered to be a violent Sanhedrin. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah omer af l'shivim shana. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says even if a Sanhedrin kills once every 70 years, not once every 7, once every 70, that's also considered a violent Sanhedrin. Rabbi Tav and Rabbi Akiva omer me'ilu ayinu b'Sanhedrin lo neragadu me'olam. Rabbi Tav and Rabbi Akiva have an outlandish statement. Had they been in the Sanhedrin, no one ever would have gotten killed. There never would have been Dinin Fashos where the person would have gotten killed, because they always would have come up with another question to ask the Edom that the Edom would not have been able to answer. They always would have tripped up the Edom. They would have made sure that it never happened. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, that's really great. Afhein Rabin Shovchei Dam B'Yisrael. Then you're encouraging murder in Klal Yisrael, because if no one ever gets killed, then what's to deter people from committing murder? It sounds almost that the Machlokas Rabbi Tav Rabbi Kiva versus Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is what the purpose of the death penalty is. Right? Rabbi Tav Rabbi Kiva apparently hold it's not meant as a deterrent, in the sense that people are actually afraid that they themselves are going to get killed. Whereas Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, obviously, all that is meant as a deterrent. What is it meant as, according to Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva? So maybe you could say, like we've mentioned many times in the past, like Rabbi Moshe Feinstein writes in his tshuva, when he was asked by the governor of the state of New York what the Jewish view of the death penalty is, and he said, we never really do it. And he quoted this Mishnah about once every 70 years and how difficult it is to actually have the standard of evidence required where you need hasra in advance to aid them. And he's, you know, never really happens. It doesn't materialize too often, too frequently, that we do the death penalty. And he says, so how could it possibly serve as a deterrent if we never really do it? So Moshe writes in the tshuva, it's not a deterrent in the sense that people are afraid that it's going to happen to them. It's a deterrent in the sense that when we educate our children and we educate ourselves about which crimes are the most heinous crimes and the most the worst crimes to commit, so we learn at a young age, Mechal Shabbos Yechayev Skila. So we know, ooh, that must be very bad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks that we're deserving of Skila from Mechal Shabbos. Not that we're going to be afraid every time we turn on a light on Shabbos that, who knows, maybe two Edom are watching and I'm going to get Skila. No, that's an irrational fear, because the chances of actually getting Skila are very slim. But that we're going to think twice before doing it, because we're going to say, this isn't something small. This is something major. So perhaps that seems to be the subject of Machlokas Tanaim in terms of what's meant to be accomplished. Maritz Chiyus points out that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's taina doesn't seem to be such a strong taina anyway. He says the Rambam writes in Parak Beis of Hilchos Rotzeach Halacha Ches that Kol Elu Aratzchadim She'enu Mechuyav Misas Beis. And what does Beis do with all the murderers who they couldn't convict, because the standards for dinin nefashos are so high? There are a lot of guilty people who deserve to be killed but aren't going to be killed, because or they deserve to be punished at least, and they're not going to be killed because they didn't have two Edim giving Hasra'ah, for instance, or whatever it might be, that whatever loophole they got through. So the Rambam says, Ha'isur Rishus LeBezdin Bezmana Sanhedrin LeHorgam BaRasha. The Sanhedrin still could have killed them with HaRasha, Kefisha Yira Bezdin, if Bezdin thinks that it's necessary. And the Rambam also writes, Bezdin also has the ability to beat them up, to just do whatever they can to instill fear into these people, to make it that it shouldn't be nothing, that you can't go and murder somebody and walk off scot-free. So even if Bezin doesn't kill them, so Bezin at the very least has every right and perhaps the responsibility to take care of them in other ways. Vim Kain, so says Meretz Chais, if that's so, granted, you're not going to be mechayiv the Mises Bezdin. Rabbi Akiva says, we would never be mechayiv anyone Mises Bezdin. But what's the concern that Yirbu Shovchei Damim? With Ha'ara Hashah, Bezdin could feel like, if they really feel like it's going to be Yirbu Shovchei Damim, so they'll kill him with Ha'ara Hashah, or they'll beat him up anyway. And even without Ha'ara Hashah, they could just beat him up. So the Rambam, and the Rambam derives this from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Pe'althan Beis, where it says, Eidus Miuchedes, when you have Eidus Miuchedes by Dinu Nefashos, which we discussed yesterday, the concept of Eidus Miuchedes, that it works for Dinei Mamonis, but not for Dinei Nefashos. So the Gemara over there says that when there's Eidus Miuchedes by Dinei Nefashos, Kontz Nosol Lekipa, we put him into jail, and jail was not a comfortable place, it wasn't a country club prison. So the Tzarech Iyan, V'hadam Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Tav, Nilu Yunibu Sanhedrin, Mishum Rabbi Akiva, B'churban Beitar Haya, near Nun Be'i Shana Achar Achurban, fine, meaning in terms of working out the timing is also a little bit difficult with Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon. But his main kasha is, what's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's problem with saying that you're going to be marbish of chedam b'Yisrael? Doesn't seem you're going to be marbish of chedam, because Beis Din could take care of it. Now, it could be that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon are saying we would never kill anybody. If we were in the Sanhedrin, it doesn't just say that we wouldn't kill anyone with Mises Beis Din. They said, lo neherag adam me'olam. No one would ever get killed. Sounds like even with the Hora'a Shah. So the Meretz Chayis is Kasha, that yeah, they'll do with Hora'a Shah, Bezin could still kill. Yeah, but Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tafran are saying they won't. And that might be Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's problem, that at the very least, granted, the standards of evidence are very difficult, but at the very least, with the sense of Hara Shah, and by the way, Rabbi Moshe Natshuva says, that's why we don't normally do it, but if we feel that that's the only way to keep things under control, then we do it. Then through Hara Shah, we do in fact kill people, if that's the only way to keep society running and to keep things under control. So that could be what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's taina is. You don't want to kill people with Mises Beisim because of the hate, but at least kill people with Hara Shah. I worry about the beating them up and the putting them in jail. Maybe Rabbi Shimon Gamliel didn't think that was enough of a deterrent, that you're going to be mitzayer them and chovel them. Yeah, but at the end of the day, they still have their lives, then it's going to be a problem. It's not going to be enough of a deterrent. Okay, says the Gemara. The Mishnah started off by saying that if a person runs away from Beis Din, comes back to that very same Beis Din, so Beis Din does not revisit the case. The implication is, it's because he came back to the very same Beis Din. But if you were to come back to a different Beis Din, then Beis Din would revisit the case. Hatani Sefer Kol Makom Sheyamdu Shnayim VeYomru Meidin Lanu Asish Ploni Shnigmar Dino BeBeis Din Ploni. That, but didn't we learn in the Sefer that any time two Eidim come and they come into Beis Din, they say, we can tell you that there was a Gemar Din against this guy in another Beis Din, Uploni Uploni Eidov, and these two guys were his Eidim. Harezen Narag, he's killed, meaning even another Beis Din does not revisit the case. So it seems like a stira between the first two lines of the Mishnah. The first line of the Mishnah implies only the same Beis Din doesn't revisit the case, but another Beis Din would revisit the case. Second line of the Mishnah says even another Beis Din does not revisit the case. Am Rabbi Lo Kasha. Rabbi says, no problem. Kan Beretz Yisrael, Kan B'chutz La'aretz. It all depends whether you're talking in Eretz Yisrael or you're talking in Chutz La'aretz. The Tanya, because we have a Brisa as follows. Rabbi Ben Destoy, Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Shet. If you went away from Eretz Yisrael and you ended up in a Beis Din in Chutz La'aretz, well, the Beis Din in Chutz La'aretz is not going to call into question the process of the Beis Din Eretz Yisrael. They're not going to restart the process of adjudicating this case. It's already been dealt with by a higher level Beis Din, the Beis Din Eretz Yisrael. But in Chutz La'aretz, but if it went from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, then we are Soser Zdino, and the Gemara adds in, because of the Zchus of Eretz Yisrael, and who knows, as Rashi points out, Ulai Toi Limtza Lo Pesach Shel Zchus, maybe they'll be able to find, the Zchus of Eretz Yisrael will enable them to find a Pesach Shel Zchus, some Zchus for this guy that he's going to be able to get off the hook. So that's the only hope that we have, the Zchus of Eretz Yisrael is going to help him out, right? The reason the Gemara needs to add in that line, that it's been Yisrael, is because one might have thought that it's because you're dealing with higher level Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, if you're in a situation where there were higher level Talmidei Chachamim in Bavel, which was true for much of the period of the Amoraim, which for pretty much all most of the period of the Amoraim, where the learning in Bavel was considered to be on a higher level, in Narda and Pumbedisa was considered to be on a higher level than the learning in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara at the end of Ksuva says that the Talmidei Chachamim in Bavel were twice as good as the Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael, but the greatest Talmidei Chachamim of all were those guys who were trained in Bavel and then went to Eretz Yisrael. But the point is that one might have thought that it's totally in the level of Talmidei Chachamim. So that's what the Gemara says, has nothing to do with anything. Even if the Beis Din and Bavel are greater Talmidei Chachamim, the Zechus of Eretz Yisrael will do something. It's unclear whether it's the Zechus of Eretz Yisrael that will enable the Dayanim, it's their Zechus of being in Eretz Yisrael, or it's the litigant, it's the guy himself, it's the defendant, rather his Zechus of being in Eretz Yisrael is going to enable the Dayanim to come up with something for him. Fine. Sanhedrin, I guess the Mishnah then said, Sanhedrin is knowing both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz. How do we know that that's true? The Tan Rabban, we have a brisa. Vayu eil lechem duchukas mishpat ledoraseichem. Laman Sanhedrin shnehegas baaretz ubechutz laaretz. We see from there Sanhedrin is knowing both in Eretz Yisrael as well as chutz laaretz. Imkein matam lomer b'sha'arecha. Why does it say b'sha'arecha? Doesn't b'sha'arecha imply only Eretz Yisrael? So b'sha'arecha atamosh b'atei dinim b'chol pelech u'pelech b'chol yavir. Ubechutz laaretz atamosh b'chol pelech u'pelech v'atamosh b'chol yavir. There's a difference between the way we establish Sanhedraos in Eretz Yisrael and the way that we establish them in Chutz La'aretz. in Eretz Yisrael, we establish a Sanhedrin not only in every province, but in every city. In Chutz La'aretz, every province gets a Sanhedrin, but not every city needs a Sanhedrin. So yes, there are Sanhedros in Chutz La'aretz, but not as many, and that's the chilek. Rabbi Yaakov Emden just has a very sharp ha'ar over here. He says, if that's the case, that we're going to only put b'chal pelech, but not b'chal ir, in Chutz La'aretz, he says, nimtza b'nei Yisrael sh'b'chutz La'aretz gruim b'zem y'b'nei Noach. Then it turns out that Jews in Chutz La'aretz have less than B'nai Noach have, than Goyim have. Because B'nai Noach are Mitzuvim B'chal Yer V'Yer. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin and Vavim Beis. That B'nai Noach are Mitzuvim to have Sanhedros, to have courts in every single city. So the Rambam, in the end of Parak Tes of Chutz Malachim, when it talks about B'nai Noach, just says B'chal Pelech, Pelech. So maybe he had a different girsa in that Gemara. Perhaps his girsa was modified in order to accommodate our Gemara, in order to make it logical, because generally we do have a rule that B'nai Noach can never have a higher standard, that the Torah can never require more of B'nai Noach than we require of Jews. Right, the any chiyuv that Ben Noach has, a Jewish person, it can't be. I forgot the exact expression that there's no such thing as something that's an usher for Bnei Noach that's mutter for Jews. Right, that's a rule that we have. The question: do we have a rule even without the Torah? Do we have a rule that any standard of morality and ethics that Bnei Noach hold themselves to, that we have to hold ourselves to at least that standard as well, that it has to be included in Vasisa Yashava Tov to do whatever the standard of ethics that they have, to have at least that. That's a separate discussion. This is about Torah, right? That's the Sholem Eshev writes in the Tshuva about copyright infringement. So the Tshuva Sholem Eshev says, well, I can't find the source in the Torah for copyright infringement. It doesn't say it anywhere, anything about the idea of intellectual property. It's hard to find a source in the Torah for it. Torah speaks about stealing. It means you break into somebody's house and you take something. Take someone's ideas. It's very difficult to find a makor in the Torah for it. So the Sholem Eshev says, yeah, but if the Goyim have laws on the books about copyright infringement, so the Torah Shalanu can't be kesicha b'teila shalahem, can't be worse than whatever laws they made up on their own. Our standards of morals and ethics have to be on a higher level. My brother pointed out the Rambam in Igeres HaShmad seems to totally disagree with that. Someone asked him if we should be Mosir Nefesh on everything because the Muslims are Mosir Nefesh on everything. I mean, we only do Yahar Gval Yavar for three mitzvahs in the Torah, but if the Muslims are willing to give their lives for every little detail of their religion, so maybe as part of that idea that our commitment to Torah Shalanu shouldn't be less than their commitment to Sicha B'Teil Shalahem, so maybe we should give our lives for everything. So the Rambam was very against that. He was very, very strongly against that. We don't use our moral compass. We don't use other religions as our moral compass. We use our Torah as our moral compass, and we don't have to go checking out what other religions are doing in order to figure out what the right thing for us to do is. But that's in terms of outside of Torah. Within Torah, there's no such thing as something that's asur for a non-Jew and mutter for a Jew. So it can't be that there will be a higher standard. That's what's bothering Rabbi Yaakov Emden. It can't be that there will be a higher standard that Goyim need, but they did in every single year, and the Jews don't need it in every single year, only in every single Pelech. Fine. Sanhedrin Aregis, then the Mishnah went on to say that a Sanhedrin that kills once every 7 years, or 70 years, or ever, is considered a violent Sanhedrin. Ibayilu, Achas Hashem Shana Nikreis Chavlanis, Oduma Orucharihi, Teku. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second, how did the Mishnah express it? The Mishnah said that a Bezin that kills once every 7 years is called a Chavlanis. Then Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, once every 70 years. He doesn't say once every 70 years it's called the Chavlanis, that it's called the violent Sanhedrin. So what do you mean by once every 70 years? Is he disagreeing with the Tanakhama and saying that that no, even once every 70 years is called violent? Or is he saying, you're right, if he kills once every 7 years, that's violent. Standard should be about once every 70, right? Not that once every 70 is a problem, but that once every 70 is reasonable. So Teiku, the Gemara doesn't have an answer to that question. Rabbi Tav, Rabbi Kiva, Omer Me'ilua, Yin, Rabbi Tav, Rabbi Kiva say, you know, if we were there, we'd make sure no one would ever get killed. Hechi Avu Avdi, what would they do in order to ensure that nobody would get killed? So Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar, Dami Tarvayu, Re'isim Trefar, Igshalim Harag, they would say, did you see when you killed the person that was, the victim, the person that was murdered, was he a trefa? Maybe he had some sort of disease that was going to kill him anyway within a year. And if they say, no, we know for sure he wasn't a treifa because we examined the body. We did an autopsy afterwards and he was totally fine. Everything was perfectly healthy, besides for the wound that was inflicted by the stabbing of Reuven to Shimon, besides for the knife wound, everything was totally fine, so we know he wasn't a treifa. So then they would say, well, how do you know that in the place, exact place where he stabbed him, how do you know that he didn't already have some sort of hole in his heart right there in that spot? And therefore, maybe he was a treifa, right? That's the way they would make sure that the Edom had no way of answering that question. And what if the Edom said, I don't know, right, to that question? Does that cancel the Edus? Is that the kind of question that ruins the Edus if they say they don't know to that question? So Tosos discusses this at length over here. So, Frek Tosos, the Gemara Maseches Chulin says that we're not choshesh for such a thing. We're Azlin and Basaruba, we follow the Rov. The large majority of people don't have a hole in the heart, dafka, in the area that this person stabbed the victim, right? No matter where he stabbed the victim. The large majority of people do not have a problem dafka in that spot. So we should follow the Rov. So Vomer Rabbeinu Tam Devadei L'Chashin L'Alei Yishov Lehem She'im Amru D'lo Yadino Nivata Le'edus Mididava Aisai V'Aririn D'Yishailin L'Chayiv D'Zomer B'Sai V'Zomer Aririn Ein Zanachon. He says, just like when we ask Edom about the murder weapon that was used, and if they contradict each other, the two Edom, one guy says, oh yeah, he used this kind of gun, and the other one says, no, he used a different kind of gun, so that disqualifies the Edos because they contradict each other. So too, when we ask this question and they don't know the answer, it's going to ruin the Edos. Fractals is one big difference, though. By the case of Saif Arirun, by the case of the murder weapon, if they just say, look, we know it was a gun, we don't know what kind of gun, the Edos is fine. Over here it makes it sound like, even if they just say we don't know what kind, we don't know what happened, they're not saying we know for sure, they're not contradicting each other, they're saying we don't know what was going on inside his body and whether there was a hole in his heart. Sounds like even that it's going to cancel the Edos. So that's very difficult, Tosfos says. So Tosfos says a little further down, he says, L'chein nireh, d'hadu kamer lo nera gadu me'olam, lav dafka. He says, so what you have to say is, that which Rabbi Tavron Rabbi Kiva said, no one ever would have gotten killed in our Sanhedrin, doesn't really mean nobody ever would have gotten killed in the Sanhedrin. What they mean is, elo rov pa'amim lo hayin ne'arag. Most of the time, people would not have gotten killed in their Sanhedrin. Shalideshu marbe bibdikos iaf shoshlo yakri shechem yam chavero. Because you know what? If they would have asked this question about the hole in the heart, and the Edom would have said, how are we supposed to know? We don't know. It's still a good Eidos. It doesn't ruin their Eidos. You can't ruin their Eidos unless they contradict each other. All Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tavron were saying is that we would ask every question under the sun. We would leave no stone unturned. We'd shepherd them so much, we'd bother them so much that with questions, and it would just get to the point where they would have to contradict each other because we'd just be bothering with so many questions. So that's why Rov HaPam, most of the time, the guy's not going to get killed. But Aval Ein Lomer to Rabbi Kiva L'Taimei D'Chai Shlem Yuta Kabe Chelev Poter the Halomat Sinu Shumtan and the Chayish Lemiyuta Tfeimir Rabbi Meir says, but don't say that the reason Rabbi Akiva holds that no one ever got killed was because he's Chayshin Lemiyuta, so he's always choshesh that maybe the attacker was a hole in the guy's heart where he was stabbed, because there's no Tana that's more choshesh for miyut than Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir is moda that if there's no way of ever being able to investigate the miyut and the rov, if it's impossible, even Rabbi Meir's moda would follow the rov, and this would be an example, a perfect example of no way of ever being able to investigate it. Good, so that's how they get murderers off the hook and not have to get killed in Beis Din. Frak the Gemara, Bibol Asar Vehechi Avu Avdi, but capital punishment is not only for murder, it's for many sins of Arayos as well. So what if someone sleeps with Eishes Ish? So how are they going to save that guy's life if there were two Edom warned him and saw him sleeping with an Eishes Ish? Sabai and Rav, Damri Tavayu, Sabai and Rav explain, we could figure out, they said, what Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon would do to get him off the hook. They said that they would ask the following question. Re'isem kemachal bishvoferes? Did you see literally the penetration of the male Aver into the woman? You saw two people not wearing any clothes that looked like they were having bia. You didn't see that close up that you were able to see actual penetration? Did you see that? And since they're not going to be able to say that they saw that, so the Eidos is invalid. Now, why would that invalidate the Eidos? So the truth is, it's very logical. It would invalidate the Eidos because the you're not chayiv misa for being unclothed and in close contact with somebody else. You're chayiv misa for maisa bia. A maisa bia is the very maisa. Everything else around the maisa is not what you're chayiv misa for. If the edim are being made that this guy's chayiv misa, they need to see penetration. If they don't see that, they've seen nothing. So of course they can't. Their edus can't be accepted. So the point that the Gemara says for rabbanan hechidainu. So what do the Rabbanan do? The guys that disagree with Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva and the people that say that we can kill adulterers. How? No one ever sees Kamachal B'Shvaferis. And isn't that the very Maisa Bia? Right, the Gemara did not ask that by the murder case. What about the Rabbanan? Because that was a side question. Did you know about this circumstance? Over here it's about the very Maisa for which you're being Mechayiv Misa. So the Gemara answers, oh, the Rabbanan could also be done. Kishmuel, Damar Shmuel, B'Menafim, Mishayir, K'Menafim. The Rabbanan hold that you don't need to see the penetration. That as long as it looks like that's what they're doing, then you have the right to assume it's an umdana, as the Gemara is an expression, that Eish bin Ores v'lo v'hava, that if you take some straw to a fire, you don't think it's going to get singed, meaning that you're in a very volatile situation. Obviously, when the fires of passion are burning, there's obviously going to be bia, and you're able to, you don't have to see beyond that. Frek Tosfos, Tema, Ovid Avod Zor, Michal Shabbos, Michael Neymar, the Hasam Lomatsin Lemifterei. So we just showed how we can get a murderer off the hook, and we showed how we can get an adulterer off the hook. Those aren't the only two Averus for which a person is Chayiv Misa. How are Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva going to get the Ovid Avod Zor and Michal Shabbos off the hook? Right? The guy with Asra'a knew exactly what he was doing, and he was Michal Shabbos. How do you get him out of the Misa? So how could Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva say, no one ever would have gotten killed? What do you mean? The Michal Shabbos should get killed still. So he says, most of the time, when Sanhedrin wanted to kill somebody, it was either because of murder or adultery. Usually it was not an issue of Chil Shabbos. I would have thought the opposite. I would have thought Chil Shabbos is much more common than murder and adultery, right? But the Gemara says, but I guess Tosfos assumes the other way. He assumes that most of the time it was murder and adultery. Those were the major cases, and that's where they really needed Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon's help to come up with some way to get the guy off the hook. But getting him off the hook for Shabbos is not such a big deal. Va'odish lamar, or Tosfos, as you can suggest, digal meimar reisim shemechalel eino trefa. They could ask the Eidim, did you see if the guy who's Mechal Shabbos, who you're trying to kill with your testimony, did you see if he's a trefa? The imu trefa im kain im tziman lo yuchay even misa mishum tamas lemer gaver katila bidin lemikdal vavila edushiat yach lazima. If the guy they were trying to kill with their testimony, the guy that they claimed was Michal Shabbos, was a trefa, their edus is invalid because it's edushiat yach lazima, because they're trying to get a dead man killed. So you can't kill them because they're people who aren't trefos. They have their whole lives ahead of them. So that's not kasher zanan. So since if the man himself who they're testifying was Michal Shabbos was a trefa, it would turn their edus into invalid edus because of edus shiat yachal azima. So that's a great question that they can ask to invalidate every single edus. Just ask, do you know for sure if he was a trefa or not? And if they say we don't know for sure, so that would be enough to disqualify their edus. Good, that's how Tosfos says. Now this Gemara is very critical la halacha. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. Means your day bay simin. No, it's a different tshuva. I'm thinking, Gvinas Akum. But Rav Moshe has a tshuva about chalav akum and why it is that we're makil to drink chalav akum nowadays in America. And Rav Moshe says, based on this Gemara, that what's the chiyuv of chalav, of not, what's the isser of chalav akum? So the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah, Lamed Hayom Beis, says that chalav shechelvo ovid kochavim ve'ein Yisrael ro'ehu. That if there's milk that is milked by a non-Jew without Jewish supervision, but if you have Jewish supervision, that's good enough. So says Rav Moshe, is it the blessing of the rabbi that makes it kosher? Jewish supervision, the Jew is there and he just says, I hereby bless the milk, and that's what makes it kosher? That it's magic? He says, no, obviously the Jewish supervision is there to tell you that you know the facts, that you know that no pig milk was mixed in, that you know with certainty, you have yediyah v'da'is, that this is so. So Rav Moshe says, you need edus of a Jew that it's okay. Now, edus can come in two forms. Edus can come in the form of seeing the act, two edim actually seeing the act, or Edom can come in the form of two Edom knowing what happened, even if they didn't see exactly what happened, the knowledge of what happened. It's called Edei Yedia. Rav Moshe has a riot from the Gemara Shavuos Lamed Daled and from Gemara Makos Daf Zayin right here, that Edei Yedia is good enough. Right? This is similar. He says, we have a precedent for this also in Tosfos and Sanhedrin. It talks about, or Tosfos and Yevamos rather, Memhei, talks about how they would be Megayer a woman. How do we do gerus for a woman? So typically, gerus involves mila, tevila, and kabbalas mitzvos. Okay, so for a woman, there's no mila, but you still need tevila, kabbalas mitzvos. Kabbalas mitzvos is pretty easy, right? It's not a breach of tznius for a woman to be a kabbal mitzvos in front of a beis din. But how do you do tevila in front of a beis din? A woman's going to go to the mikveh in front of the beis din? It's ridiculous. You can't have such a thing, right? Rabbinical schools would be full. If you but you can't have such a thing to have a woman doing tevila in front of a beis din. So Tosfos says no, she doesn't do it in front of the beis din. Beis din stands outside of the room. They hear the plop into the mikveh, and then she comes out with her hair wet and dressed, and that's it. That's all they need to see. They know for sure she went in. They don't have to see that she went in. Yedia without re'iya. So that's the concept of Moshe. He's not mechadish. He has seven rayas from throughout Shas. So he says. So we do have edus of a Jew on the chalav. Why? Because we know that with government regulations on the milk and the penalties that they impose for switching and for contaminating the milk with pig milk or whatever else that the government would impose, gives us a yediyah vada'is, absolute certain knowledge that the milk is cow milk. And that's what we rely on. That's what Rav Moshe says is absolutely mutter to rely on. He says, a Baal Nefesh wants to be machmir, you can be machmir, but it's a chumrah. That really maker adin, you can absolutely rely on chalav, what he calls chalav ha-companies. Now that's the question, some of the other acharim question, what I never did the research on this, but the question, how severe are the penalties really? Meaning, Rav Sternbach says in South Africa, for instance, he did his research in South Africa when he was the Rav, and he said they charge him a couple of $100 and it's a slap on the wrist. It's nothing. They don't, it won't cost them much at all. So if the penalties aren't that severe, it's not enough to really deter them. So can you call it a yediyah vada'is, is that no one's messing around? So that's a little bit harder to do, right? So that's Rav Sternbach's taina. I don't know in America what the laws are, but it's not only that. It's not only that the government requires it, they test the milk also. They test the milk for diseases and for other things. The stomach, they'd chap if there was pig milk mixed in there, if there was certainly a substantial amount of pig milk or camel milk or something that was mixed in there. Okay, so that's why that's an important thing. Halacha l'maisa. Hadron lach ketzer edim. That's the first parak of Maseches Makos. Second parak. Eluin agolim. The following people go to Golos. Ha'horig nefesh b'shkaga. Someone who kills somebody else b'shogeg. Hayim ma'agel b'ma'agila. V'nafla lava harugaso. If he was working with the instrument called the ma'agila, which Rashi explains the details of how this worked, that they used to tar their roofs in order to protect from the rain, that the roofs the water shouldn't come into the house, but the roofs weren't slanted. They had flat roofs, but they would put enough tar on it that the tar was actually slanted ever so slightly so that the rain would be able to run off of the house, right? And the way that they would tar the roofs was by taking a thick piece of wood, a smooth thick piece of wood, and that had a handle on it, and they would push down on the tar at an angle to make the tar the right way, to make it come out at just the right angle. So a guy was working with this big beam with these handles on it, this big piece of wood, v'nafla lavar gaso, and it falls out of his hands and it kills him. Right, and it kills somebody. So then the person is going to go to Golos. Hayimishal shel b'chavis, a person is lowering a barrel, v'nafla lavar gaso, right, and it falls down and it kills somebody. Fretosos, lowering a barrel, tzaskasha, mailo kamer v'nifsak achav l'nafla lavar k'tektani b'seifa. Why does it just say it falls? In the seifa, when it talks about lifting up a barrel with a pulley, right, it says that the rope snaps, and then it falls and kills somebody. Why by the lowering doesn't it mention the rope snapping? It just says nafla lavar gaso. It's so inconsistent with the seifa. So it says tosos near lomer the nafla shenishmat miyado ulkach l'rotz lomer nifsak dimkein lo asin karebi damer l'kaman nifsak enu gola. That no nafla means it's not the case of the reisha is not where it snapped. The case of the reisha is that it slipped out of his hands. right? And why don't we come up with a case where it snapped? Because not everyone agrees that if it does snap, that you would go into galus. So in order to make it l'kuli alma, so pick the case of nafla of argas. So the Rosh Hashanah points out the other reason why he picked the case of nafla as opposed to the rope snapping is very pashut, that that's what's most common when you're lowering a barrel. So you're giving it a little leeway. Each, you know, you're letting it slip through your hands. So it's very likely that you're going to let it slip too much. It's going to fall and kill somebody. It's not so likely. There's no tension, so it's not very likely that the rope is going to snap. When you're pulling up a barrel with a pulley, so then it's all physics. So then there's much more tension, much more likely that the rope is going to snap. Then you have a counterforce, so that's much more likely that the rope is going to snap. So that's why it only says nafal avargaso. Hayorid besulam. If a guy was going down a ladder, the nafal avargaso, and he falls and he kills somebody, hareza gala. That goes into galus. Why do we have to have all three cases? So Tosha says that the cases are in the order of lozu avzu katani. That lozu magal devada yesh l'chay v'galus. Certainly in the case where he's dealing with the big heavy beam on top of the roof, where certainly he's going to be chay v'galus, because delam lo nisar, ela af mishal shel chavis deshapir misar shelo yishaber chaviso emnaf v'var chayv. One might have said, you know what, by the ma'agil, by the beam, you're not so careful, because what's worse that's going to happen? Your big beam will fall on the floor. So you'll go pick it up. The beam's not even going to break. Everything's going to be fine. But by the barrel, one might think that the guy's being a little more careful, because he doesn't want his barrel to break. The barrel falls, it's going to break. And by himself, you'd think he's being even more careful, because it's himself. He's climbing the ladder, and he's scared. He doesn't want to fall himself. So one might have thought he'd even be more nisar. So it's lozu avzu. So the chiddush is that he deserves galus. It's not called an ones in any of these cases. All these cases are just standard shogeg, for which a person goes to galus. Says the Mishnah, Vayitravim hayimoshek magilu v'nafal of argasa. But let's say he's pulling up on the beam, and then it falls out of his hands and it kills somebody. Hayadol b'chavis v'nifsek hachevel v'nafal of argasa. He's pulling up the barrel with the pulley system, and then it falls down and kills somebody. Hayaol b'sulam v'nafal of vahargo. He's climbing up a ladder and he falls and kills somebody. Reze einu galu. You don't go to galus. Zaklal, the rule is kol shabiderach yiridasa galu v'shal biderach yiridasa einu galu. Whatever is on its way down, you go to galus. Whenever it's on its way up, you don't go to galus. We know immediately. How do we know this is true? Amar Shmuel Damar Krava Yipol Ala Vayamus Achi Yipol Derech Nefilas. We see Nefilas part of the murder, the way that a murderer would go to galus. Tan Rabbanan Bishkaga Prat Lemezid. Bishkaga tells me not if he does it with Mezid. Bivlidas Prat Lemeskavi. Not if he does it with Kavana. Mezid Pshita Bar Katalu. Frankly, of course Prat Lemezid. Someone does it with Mezid, he's Chayiv Misa, right? So why would you? What would be the Havamina? Tulsa says, what do you mean, what would be that? I mean, what if he does bemezid and there were no edim, where there was no hasra'ah, right? Mezid without hasra'ah, he doesn't get killed, so maybe that would be the havmina, that you go to galus. So Tulsa says, no, but then it's pashut that we learn from Bli Das, Pratla Miskavin, right? If he was Miskavin, even without hasra'ah, he can't go to galus. So says the Gemara Vayta, I'm Rava Ema Prat Lomer Mutter. No, we're not excluding Mezer, we're really excluding a case where Omer Mutter, where the guy thought it was Mutter. Amle Abayi Yomer Mutter Anus. If he's Omer Mutter, then that's not a shogeg, that's a total Anus. Amle Shani Omer Ha Omer Mutter Karvel Mezer. We assume Omer Mutter is closer to Mezer than it is to Onus. Bivlidas Prat Miskavin, Miskavin Pshita Bar Katalahu. If a guy is Kavana to kill somebody else, then of course he deserves to get me so he doesn't go to Galus. No, let's say he tried to kill a behema and he accidentally killed a person. Lakuti vargasa es yisrael. He tried to kill the kuti and he accidentally killed the Jew. The nefel varg ben kayama. He tried to kill the nefel. He tried to perform an abortion and he accidentally killed the mother. He killed the person. So in those cases, also he doesn't go to galus because there was a level of kavana, even though he wasn't having kavana to kill the person that he actually killed. Tan rabban im bepata prat lekaren zavis. If he's just walking around the corner and they jump into each other, they run into each other, he's also not going to be sent to galus. Below Eva, Prat Lasone. A Sone doesn't get sent to galus. Hadafa Shadachva Begufo, that he has to bodily push him. Oh, Hishlichalav, Lav Yerida Shitzarichalia, that even if it's going down, in order to be able to be brought back up, that's also called Yerida. Below Tzadia, Prat Lemiskavin Lutzadzev, Lutzadacher. If he's aiming to one place and he hits him somewhere else. Vashalot Tzadda, Prat Lemiskavin Lutzadzev, Vazarak Arba, to exclude a case where he intended to throw two amos and he ended up throwing the knife four amos and killing somebody. Now you'll notice some of these drushes say prat and some don't say prat. Pasha Pshat is the ones that say Prat are excluded from Galus. The ones that don't say Prat are included in Galus. Not all Rishonim learn that way, though. Some Rishonim learn that they're all exclusions. V'asho yavo esreya b'yar, ma'yar v'shul s'nizik l'mazik l'konish sham, afkol v'shul s'nizik l'mazik l'konish sham. It has to be a location where both the nizik and the mazik are allowed to be. B'ayimine Rabbi Yavam and Rabbi Yochanan, ha'ya ol b'sula v'nishmat ha'shleiv mitaktav v'nofla v'hargabahu. What if a guy was climbing up a ladder and the step came out from under him and killed? Is that called going up because the guy was going up, or because going down because the step came down? No, you already said whenever it's on its way down for the sake of going up that still goes to Galus. Whenever it's on its way down you go to Galus, on its way up you don't go to Galus. Doesn't that mean to include this kind of case of the latter? Then what does Derech Ribidasa come to include? It comes to include someone who's chopping. So to over here, if you're chopping with an axe, we have four brises about a guy who's chopping. That on the one end, we have a brise that says that if he's doing it in front of him, he's chayiv, but if it kills as he's swinging back, he's pater. Tanya idach, lachrov chayiv lefanov pater. Swinging back is chayiv, in front is pater. Tanya idach, bein lefanov bein lachrov chayiv, that you chayiv either way. Tanya idach, bein lefanov bein lachrov pater, that you pater either way. So how does that make sense? Lo kasha. Can be read the shalafan of aliyah shalachrov. Derech you read the yoris pater, derech you read the yoris chayiv galus, derech aliyah yoris pater from galus. So you read the lefan of aliyah laachrov, chayiv galus, lefan of not chayiv laachrov. Can be aliyah shalafan of read the shalachrov. Can be read the shalafan of shalachrov. Can be aliyah shalafan of shalachrov. Leme ketanoim. Maybe the case of the latter is machlokas tanoim. Hayol b'slum v'nishmat ashliv v'mitaktav tani chad chayiv tani idoch pater. Machlokas tanoim. Whether you're chayiv or pater when you're climbing the ladder. My la ba'akam if the mars of yirida yimas of aliyahi isn't the machlokas whether it's considered a yirida or an aliyah. It says more lo the kuliyam aliyahi. Everyone agrees that it's called aliyah v'lo kasha. Kan the nizakin, kan the galus. Question: when we say you're chayiv, is if you only damage the guy, so you're chayiv for damage. That doesn't make a difference whether it's aliyah or yirida. But when it comes to galus, you're only going to be chayiv if it's yirida. Ibai say mahava halagalus. So maybe it's all talking about galus v'lo kasha. Had itla had lo itla. Depends how rotted out the step on the ladder was. If it was very rotted, it folds, it bends first. So then it was derech yirida. If it was solid, then it won't bend first, then it's derech aliyah. V'ibay seima hava adalav etliyah, or it could be that it wasn't rotted out at all. V'lo kasha hadu mehadik adalav mehadik. Depends how tightly fastened this step was. If it was, if it filled the entire space that it was supposed to fill, where it's totally fastened, then it's not called derech yirida, and you're going to be pater. But if it wasn't connected so tight, then it is derech yirida, and you're going to be chayiv. We'll pick up from the Mishnah tomorrow.